From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Maryland is home to thousands of refugees and asylees. They have left their homes, fleeing war, violence, and persecution. What traditions do they leave behind? This Saturday, the Creative Alliance in Baltimore will celebrate World Refugee Day Festival, a day where refugee groups will share music, dancing, food, and art. Coordinator Ari Plusnik gives us a preview, and Gary Bien-Aimé, founder of Comité Haïti, a group for Haitians in Baltimore, extols getting to know people from around the world.
Refugees and asylees and immigrants bring a new flavor into the United States. It offers the door, what I call a passport to the world where you don't have to travel.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Think refugee, and we often picture war zones, violent protests, or camps for displaced families. These are the desperate circumstances many refugees endure, but their experiences should not be reduced to just the adversity they faced. The Maryland Office for Refugees and Asylees reports that from October 2015 to September 2016, more than 2,000 individuals were resettled across the state, primarily in Prince George's County and Baltimore City. This group includes refugees from countries such as Colombia, Ethiopia, and Bhutan, as well as individuals from Afghanistan and Iraq who supported the U.S. military as translators. World Refugee Day is coming up, a day to stand in solidarity with refugees and commemorate their perseverance. This Saturday, the World Refugee Day Festival at the Creative Alliance, a multipurpose art and performance center in Baltimore's Highland Town neighborhood, will give refugees a chance to celebrate and share the music, traditions, and art of their homelands. Ari Plusnik is Community Arts Liaison at the Creative Alliance. Welcome back to On the Record.
Thank you.
This is the ninth year of the World Refugee Day Festival. It's produced by the Creative Alliance in partnership with the International Rescue Committee and the Baltimore City Community College Refugee Youth Project. So is this event for refugees or for the larger community?
Well, it's really for both. It's to celebrate refugees and immigrants in general who came to America to seek a new life and seek a better life in most cases. But it's also for those of us who aren't immediate refugees or immediate immigrants to come and learn about refugee cultures and immigrant culture, and that's to say the culture of their home countries.
So tell us some of the groups participating.
We'll have Comité Haïti, which is a Haitian nonprofit group that will be coming to do Haitian family activities. We'll have plenty of refugee students who are coming through Refugee Youth Project, and we'll actually be showing their artwork in our gallery as part of the festival. We'll also have food from Eritrea, food from Mexico. We'll have a refugee coffee producer who will come to sell coffee, and actually some of that coffee, some of the proceeds from the coffee actually goes to an education fund dedicated to refugees. That's 735 Coffee. And we'll also have a lot of refugee service providers in attendance as well.
Are all the performers from Baltimore?
A lot of the performers are from Baltimore area, yes. We had to pull from Baltimore and D.C. We have a very special group called Hope Choir of Nations who will be giving us a performance. And they are made up of men and women from around the world who now live in the Baltimore area. And that's planned by Asylee Women's Enterprise. We have really our home dance group called Jóvenes en Acción, which is made up of Latinx students who dance, and they try to engage their communities through dance. So they'll be giving us a performance as well, kind of based off of Central American traditions. We also have a very exciting dancer who's going to be coming and giving us performance from Tajikistan. She's a classical Tajik dancer, so she will give us a couple of traditional Tajik dances, as well as recite some poetry in English, Persian, Tajik, and Russian. So that'll be really interesting. And then finally, we have Duo Waita, which is a group that actually comes from D.C., but it's made up of two musicians, one from Guatemala and one from Bolivia. And they both will be interpreting Central American Guatemalan folk songs kind of through the lens of South American instrumentation. So they'll be using charango, which is a small ukulele-type guitar instrument. They have pan flutes. They have traditional drums. So it'll be very nice performances. And a lot of these performers do make their home in and around the Baltimore area.
And you mentioned there'll be organizations that offer services for refugees, such as?
Absolutely. So we'll be having a lot of informational tabling from International Rescue Committee, from obviously Refugee Youth Project. We also will have tabling by the Reengagement Center of Baltimore City Public Schools, as well as Sanctuary Streets Baltimore.
What's the Baltimore City Reengagement Project?
So they're a group of social workers that work with Baltimore City Public Schools to really try to get students that maybe that have left schooling to be able to readmit in a program to be able to receive their high school diploma.
That's Ari Plusnik, Community Arts Liaison at the Creative Alliance. Here on The Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Baltimore's 9th Annual World Refugee Day Festival, a family-friendly event to celebrate the city's immigrants and refugees. It's taking place on Saturday. How do you see the festival on Saturday fitting with your role as Community Arts Liaison?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get all these different communities in. I think what's so great about this particular festival is it's really a multicultural festival. So we have people from all over the world coming and sharing their different crafts, their different music. We have a lot of art vendors coming from Afghanistan, from Syria, from West Africa, as well as from Central America. So that on top of the different food that we'll have, like I mentioned earlier, on top of all the different countries that these Refugee Youth Project students represent, as well as our performers, I mean, we're just going to have a amazing kind of lineup, so to speak, of the different cultures being represented. So what's exciting for me is that hopefully these artists and these musicians and these food vendors will be so excited about this festival that they'll invite their families, they'll invite their friends who are also in those communities, and we'll have a big mixing of people in Creative Alliance, which is really what my job is about. And hopefully, with me being there and enjoying with everybody, I can make some connections to really bring in a lot of different groups into Creative Alliance that maybe haven't came before.
And what do you hope people take away from this event?
I hope they just have a really great time. Like when it comes down to it, we do have refugee service providers that are there to give out the services or at least educate about what services are provided. So I hope that some people do get some degree of help from this event. But really, outside of that, I just hope that people come, enjoy, and leave feeling like they really learned something about cultures from around the world. Maybe it's that I didn't know that people in Tajikistan spoke 4 different languages that included Russian. And I hope that they just kind of have a good time, because I think that that's the way to really foster these connections between people that maybe never interacted before. It's just through having a good time and enjoying art, music, food, and culture.
Ari, thanks for telling us about it.
Thank you.
Ari Plusnik is Community Arts Liaison at the Creative Alliance in Highlandtown, which will be the site of Baltimore's 9th Annual World Refugee Day Festival this Saturday, June 15th. It runs from noon to 3:30 p.m. We've got links to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Quick break here on The Record. When we're back, keeping the language and culture of Haiti alive in Baltimore. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Starting over in a new country is not easy, especially when you've left because of political persecution and violence. Leaving behind family and friends, a language, and all the familiar traditions can make the transition extremely difficult. For Gary Bien-Aimé, keeping the language and culture of Haiti close while living in Baltimore is best accomplished by coming together with other compatriots. Gary Bien-Aimé is founder and president of Comité Haïti, a group for Haitians living in Baltimore and Maryland. Comité Haïti will be participating in Baltimore's 9th annual World Refugee Day Festival this Saturday at the Creative Alliance in Highlandtown. Welcome to On the Record, Gary.
Sak passe. Thank you for having me.
What does Comité Haïti mean?
Comité is the Creole word for committee, and Haïti, which is the original word for Haiti, which is A-Y-I-T-I. We pronounce it I-E-T.
So it's the
Haitian Committee.
Haitian Committee.
Correct.
Why did you start it?
When I moved here around the early 2006, and then soon afterwards, a couple years later, we had the earthquake in Haiti.
In 2010.
2010, which is a very devastating catastrophe in Haiti. However, the way the media was portraying Haiti at the time, me being raised in Miami and went to school in Boston, we've always pride in it. We always take a good pride of our culture. But the media and those around us was portraying Haiti, despite its issues, as a very dark place, a very poor place. And it got me thinking, there's more to Haiti besides the devastation. Our culture is beautiful. Our language is astounding. I love to speak Creole. Most people who travel to Haiti will come back and will tell you how much of a beautiful place Haiti is. But we don't get the opportunity to write our own narrative. That's the thing, we always allow others to talk about Haiti's culture, but we never get the chance from a Haitian perspective to talk about Haiti. So Comité Haïti was founded in 2016 because we had to do some research, took some measures to see how many Haitians in Baltimore would be interested in that. And we decided to tell our own story and tell what is the language, the food, the culture, the music, and all of that just tie in. And that's how we started with Comité Haïti with a very good friend by the name of Joanna Saint-Ville, who was a very good friend of mine. We started that together.
Back up for me. How did your family come to the United States?
It's a good question. My father, which is an old story of typical Haitian doing a Duvalier era, my father came here through as an asylee, was escaping persecution in Haiti. And then that was back in the late 70s, early 80s. And then you probably know when you take a person away from his family, as Ari was just explaining, that he was basically missing his family. I am the fifth child of seven. So as you could imagine, my father came to Miami and he was alone. So he applied for us to come here as a children of asylees.
What activities does Comité Haïti offer?
As I was saying, the culture is a beautiful culture. For the first thing we provide is the language. So for the last 3 years, we offered Creole class hosted at the International Rescue Committee, which is a great partner with Comité Haïti. And the Creole class allow not just Haitians, but also those who are seeking to learn another language. And we offer the Creole class at Creative Alliance. And you probably know, learning a language is not just learning a language. You need to dive in into the culture as well. So if we offer the Creole, then after that we offer what you call Compa in the City. What that means is that another partner with St. Mary's Restaurant, we invite Haitian, also non-Haitian, to feel the rhythm of the Haitian music. So think about that. You're learning the language, then the next step is to feel the rhythm of the language. What Komiteis offer, the third phase of that, is that while you're learning the language, you dance in the music, first, let's practice the language. We offer Creole Happy Hour, Creole in Baltimore, and everyone is welcome. You don't have to speak Creole. This allows you to listen to Haitian Creole and also allow you to practice some of your, you know, dust of language as well. So we offer that. What makes this program very important is that we allow us and other Haitian to visit Baltimore. So we pick a restaurant in the greatest city of Baltimore where we call them and we say, hey, we would like to host us for a Creole happy hour. We have between maybe 10, 15 patrons that's coming in that allows your restaurant to be exposed as well from a business standpoint. And then the fourth phase about this, which is very key, the fourth phase about it is that how else would you be able to learn the language if you don't taste the food of the culture? So what we offer is we offer community cookout. Come in and taste the food. And in this year, we've celebrated 216th year Flag Day as a Haitian. 216 years as an independence country. We celebrate that Flag Day at Creative Alliance. That was food, music, dance. It was the most beautiful event we've ever had in the greatest city of Baltimore.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Caribbean Amé, founder and president of Comité Haïti, the grassroots organization that connects the Haitian community to educational, social, and cultural resources in Baltimore and Maryland. You used to work at the International Rescue Committee, which resettles refugees in Baltimore and helps them start new lives. What challenges did the folks you worked with face?
Well, as an asylum immigrant in Baltimore, I saw myself some of the challenges refugee was facing. First, the language. You are fused into a new place for your new home. You face the language challenges. Then you face a culture challenges as well. The ability to how to greet individuals, how to maneuver the legal system, the cultural system, and all of that was very, very challenging as for me as when I came in, and it was also challenging as a refugee coming into the United States as well. My role at the time when I was working with the International Rescue Committee, I was working on the cultural orientation, focus on safety and security. And one probably wonders, what is about safety and security when a new immigrant or a new American is coming in? The safety side of it, I focus on what happens when a refugee faces the judicial system, the legal system. What happens? Does the police officer know that this person does not or speak the language? Do I get an interpreter for that person, which is that is provided most by municipal cities in America? Do I educate? One thing that I should do, we should go to the police academy to educate the police department ways to approach refugees who are coming from the Middle East or Muslim community. Sometimes a woman may not feel comfortable to speak to a man police officer. You may want to dispatch a female police officer. It was part of teaching the Marylanders police officers, the court system, and you probably know the word refugee means someone who seeks refuge. That means they do not have a home. Are they bound for deportation? Some of the things that even some of the judges may not even know that. So part of my job is to venture around Baltimore, meet major stakeholders to educate them about refugees, our new communities that's coming into Baltimore.
You mentioned the 2010 earthquake that devastated Haiti. That triggered something called temporary protective status for Haitian immigrants. And the Trump administration announced 2 years ago it would end temporary protective status, or TPS, next month. This could potentially force tens of thousands of Haitians to leave the United States. The decision is being challenged in federal court. The deadline has been extended to next January. How did that announcement impact the Haitian community?
Well, first and foremost, we were very disappointed on the decision, not just for the Haitian community, and by large, a lot of the communities in the greater Baltimore and Maryland as well. How did that impact the Haitian community? As the founder of Comité Haïti, and there are times you are bound by, the word is confidential information, that there were a few patients who had the TPS status, and they felt very uncomfortable to come out into the light to enjoy Baltimore. And unfortunately, some of them did venture out to Canada to seek refuge. They want to feel safe. I truly believe that what's happening in this administration is causing the Haitian community, some of those Haitian community members, not to come out into the light to enjoy Baltimore more.
In your view, what value do refugees bring to the community?
Oh, that is a wonderful question. Refugees and asylees and immigrants bring a new flavor into the United States. Let's take a young black man in Baltimore, for example, who always lived in Baltimore all his life. Let's take Highlandtown, for example. That young person can step out on Eastern Avenue, can look across the street. He or she, or he can see a Latino restaurant. You know what? I've never been to Ecuador in my life, but I can go over there and enjoy Ecuadorian food. He can cross the street and he see a Somalian. Never, the only way you can meet a Somalian, you have to go to, you know, to Africa. But I can talk to this person. What refugees offers, not just in Baltimore, in America, it offers a door, what I call a passport to the world, where you don't have to travel. I am passionate about our immigrant community. What Comité Haïti is doing as well is bringing a culture, a flavor to Baltimore that we need desperately. The narrative needs to change. Baltimore is a beautiful city, but we need to bring out those individuals in Baltimore to display that information.
How will Comité Haïti be participating in the World Refugee Day Festival at the Creative Alliance on Saturday?
Good. This is our second year with Creative Alliance. We did the World Refugee Day. This year, well, go back a little bit. A couple months ago, Comité Haïti was partnering with Creative Alliance doing a kite workshop, for example. For the first time in Baltimore, Creative Alliance, with Comité Haïti's partnership, we brought a kite festival in Baltimore. The enthusiasm to see an adult for the first time creating a kite, and to see that little pieces of paper and bamboo stick flying in the air, to see the lights of adults' face, it was amazing. So what we're doing this year, we are offering what you call a spin paper. In Haiti, during the summertime, a lot of kids have this circle round thing called a galba. The word is galba. So what that is, that you take a circle of top, it could be from a can, and you put two holes in front of it, and you put a string, and you, as you pull it, it make a sounds. So because of safety reason, we're not going to use a top of a can. We're going to use paper, cardboard. We're going to draw it. We're going to do circle rambles with it. That allows the youth, even the adults as well, to have an opportunity to enjoy a Haitian galba.
And what's next for Comité Haïti after the festival at the Creative Alliance?
What's next for us, for the first time since we've been existed in Baltimore, the Haitian community will be involved in the Caribbean, Baltimore One, Washington, D.C. Carnival, what we call it, Carnaval, which is an opportunity where you bring Haitian bands. And this year we are going to bring a raga. The raga is infused of the African culture music with horns and drums. So we're going to bring raga in Baltimore. And I don't know if you know, when raga comes to an event, it just brings something out of a Haitian person, it brings something out of a non-Haitian, because the sounds make you want to say, what is that? I have never heard that sound before. So for the first time in the 10 years of Baltimore Carnival, Comité Haïti will be bringing a raga and a Haitian band in Baltimore. We're excited for it. And all I can say is that go to comitehaiti.org. You can see how much wonderful work we are doing in Baltimore.
Thank you for telling us about it. Thanks a lot.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sak passe.
Na boule.
Gary Bien-Aimé is founder and president of Comité Haïti. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got links to that organization, as well as information about Baltimore's 9th annual World Refugee Day Festival this Saturday at the Creative Alliance in Highlandtown. Also information about the Carnival in Clifton Park on July 13th. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're listening. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.